Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn.
And I'm Jones.
And I know Parker's been on here a lot the last few months, but he lives in Houston, so he's been a little disadvantaged lately.
Yeah, other things taking priority, but he's okay, which is good, so.
Yeah, it's just the place where he lives, that neighborhood, the electricity is still off. Because neighborhoods in that same grid are underwater, which I guess would create a big short circuit if they turned it on.
Yes.
Although the conductivity of water is greatly exaggerated by Hollywood.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, it's not that good of a conductor.
Like, if you drop a fan into your bathtub, you might not get electrocuted, or what?
Well, it would depend on the path electricity takes going to ground.
Okay,
so
I gotcha.
If you were between the fan and the drain plug,
mm-hmm.
and it went through your heart, then you'd probably be dead.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, because
I'm not going to try this or anything, but I was just curious. So
it's always going to try to go to ground. But he'll probably be back next month. So Okay, so some topics, because I guess a number of things have happened since end of June. We're going to talk about Star Wars Burnout. Jones, you want to just briefly mention what you mean by that?
Yeah, it's just kind of like I see the Last Jedi trailer and I just feel nothing when I see it. And, anybody who's listened to these podcasts going back way in time knows that I'm a pretty big Star Wars fan. And so it's one of the concerns when Disney, took over Star Wars and they said, oh, we're going to pump out all these movies, is that Star Wars would become kind of, I don't know what you want to call it. There'd just be like,
thing?
What's that?
They want a movie to come out every year.
Yeah, and so it's like, it used to be it was 3 years between them when Lucas would bring them out. And
then like decades between those.
Yeah, and it was kind of an event where that whole event aspect is gone and now they're just kind of routine. It's like, oh, it's Christmas time, there's another Star Wars, I guess, and yeah. So some of the specialness, I guess, is gone, which was one of the fears, and it seems to be playing out. So,
did you notice the Avatar sequel pushed itself back to 2020?
Yeah, just to avoid Star Wars movies, basically.
But the thing is, Star Wars isn't supposed to come out at Christmas anymore, but goddamn well it will.
Oh yeah.
Because think about it, otherwise you're only going to have about 6 months between the Last Jedi and Han Solo movie.
Oh, because that's coming out next summer?
Yeah, it's supposed to come out next May.
Oh, geez.
It'll get pushed back next Christmas, though, as will
I would
the
imagine.
Third one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why would Avatar be getting out of the way of movies that aren't supposed to come out at Christmas?
Well, I saw that, what was it? I think it's, is it Wonder Woman 2 got scheduled? And it actually got scheduled in, December of 2019, I want to say.
Hmm.
Which was interesting.
Which would be Star Wars 3 or Star Wars 10 or 11 or
whatever. Yeah, it would be Star Wars something.
Yeah.
And obviously that could move by then, but...
Why don't... Well, I guess, actually that's only 2 years away.
And the interesting thing, just a little sidebar with Wonder Woman, is after tomorrow or Tuesday, it will be the biggest domestic superhero film of all time that doesn't have Dark Knight or Avengers in the title.
Huh.
It passed Captain America Civil War this weekend, and then either tomorrow or Tuesday it will pass Iron Man 3.
Oh yeah, we should also talk about Justice League, because that sounds like the biggest clusterfuck in film history.
Yeah, although the last trailer made me much more interested in it than any that came before it, but I'm sure it's a bit of a mess just from hearing about some of the production stuff. But
so, yeah, we'll talk about Star Wars Burnout, the Han Solo movie, which sounds like a clusterfuck, Justice League, which sounds like a clusterfuck. Also, you haven't watched the Castlevania Netflix show yet? That came out since the last podcast.
Yeah, I have not. I sadly forgot about it, because otherwise I probably would have knocked that out by now. But until you texted me earlier and were like, hey, have you watched this? I was like, shit, I forgot that existed.
I was thinking we would have talked about that last month, because it came out the 4th of July weekend?
Yeah, it's been a while ago. But we can still discuss it, because I've played the games that it's based off of, so there's no spoilers. So.
Right. Also, I started playing Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, the one in space that everyone hates. So I could talk about that. Nice. And as I tweeted today, it's the best Star Fox game in decades. Also, it was as we predicted, it was a horrible, horrible summer for movie box office.
Yep.
I think it's going to be turned around next week. I think it is going to make a shit ton of money.
I would imagine, yeah. Because there's been a dearth of stuff, so people are, like, hungry for something.
Yeah, our office pool over and under, I went over 75, and everyone thinks I'm crazy.
Yeah, we'll see. It'd be impressive for a movie like that to do that, especially since King movies never do shit, but...
Well, think about it. Any horror movie can open, like, 40 million, no matter what.
Yep.
And this is something that people really, people are nostalgic for the miniseries from the early 90s more than the book.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, I remember, like, we taped that off, whatever, I think it was on ABC. We taped it off, you know, the air, and then we watched it. Me and my sister watched it a bunch of times.
Yeah, that was a big deal. I mean, yeah. I never watched it, but I remember it being a big deal.
So the new movie is only the kid part, and then the sequel is when they're adults.
Okay.
I think it's going to be so successful that they'll end up making a third part when it'll attack them when they're like in a rest home.
Oh, yeah, I suppose they could.
Yeah. It'll be like, it'll make Bubba Hotep with a clown. All right. Yeah, so why don't we get started with Jones, your Star Wars burnout?
Yeah, so, I mean, like, you know, back originally when Disney bought it, bought Star Wars, you know, it was like, oh, this is kind of cool, because, you know, Disney's going to be around for the long haul, you know, they're a good custodian, I guess, of Star Wars, but, you know, then they started announcing, like, oh, yep, there's a new trilogy, and then, oh, we're going to make these anthology things, and, you know, very quickly it became apparent that, wow, they're going to, like, kind of turn this into like Marvel type stuff where you're, you know, having a new movie come out, you know, every year or maybe even more frequently than that. And so it was always kind of a concern that, you know, you might lose kind of that specialness or, you know, event aspect of the movies. And that, I don't know, for me personally, and then I was talking to our friend Dale, who we mentioned on here from time to time today, and he was saying the same thing, you know, like he asked me about the Last Jedi trailer, and I was like, well, I've seen Dunkirk 4 times now, and that trailer's been on the front of it every time, and I felt nothing every time.
Is there a new trailer, or is it still the one that starts with her touching the rocks?
There's the one where he's like, breathe.
Yeah, that's one that was in front of Dunkirk.
Yeah, that's the one that I've seen, and I don't know if there's a newer one, but it just, I don't know, it just does nothing for me at all. It sucks. It's like, I love Star Wars, and I mean, I really liked Rogue One, but I think the core problem, and I'm not going to belabor this because we've beaten this horse to death, but you know, the problem is like Force Awakens kind of sucked, and those are the ones they got to get right, are the saga movies, you know.
I think the opposite. I think Force Awakens was very derivative, but I enjoyed it more than Rogue One.
Yeah, but I don't know. I liked Rogue One a lot, and it's like, but that one they could have screwed up, and I'd be like, well, okay, that's not the saga movie, you know. But like the saga movies, they got to get those right, and to me, they had like almost half of a good movie there with the first one.
Right.
But then they lacked confidence or whatever, and just, you know, made it this derivative piece of crap.
What if they fire Colin Trevorrow and hire Denis Villeneuve for the last one?
That would get me excited.
See, that's the thing. Like, Colin Trevorrow, I haven't seen Safety Not Guaranteed, but I thought Jurassic World was a big pile of steamy donkey poop or dinosaur poop.
Yeah, I enjoyed that movie. I mean, I don't think it's amazing, but I thought it was entertaining. But I wouldn't give him a Star Wars movie based on that.
Well, that movie was successful because of what it was, not because of how he made it.
Yes. Yeah, it was nostalgia cranked to, like, 15, basically.
Yeah, I mean, as a film, I thought it was pretty piss poor.
Yeah.
What was that movie he had come out earlier this year, and then people were like, is Colin Trevorrow not a very good director? He made some movie that came out, I can't remember what it was, and then people were, like, second-guessing him doing Star Wars, and he's got to be pretty worried considering what happened with the Han Solo movie.
Yeah, because those guys got kicked to the curb.
Yeah, and then the movie was 90% done, Yeah, right. And they've been reshooting it for 2 months.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what that is? It's like if Ron Howard can reshoot 51% of it, he gets the director credit.
Yeah.
When was the last time he had a hit?
But yeah, it's like, and then what you were, well, yeah, I heard the Obi-Wan Kenobi movie is pretty much like announced or something, but I don't know, have they said if they're going to have Ewan McGregor be in it?
Not sure. I would assume he would be, though.
I would assume. I mean, if they don't have Ewan McGregor in that movie, like, fuck that movie, as far as I'm concerned.
Is it just going to be him wandering around in the desert for
that's
2 hours?
Well, that's the thing that's stupid about it. It's like, you know, from everything we've been told, you know, of course they can go off and craft something new, but, you know, everything is, it's like, you know, you get to the end of episode 3, and he brings baby Luke there, and then when you see him in A New Hope, he's talking about how he's, you know, kind of been there and, you know, watched over him and stuff like that, you know, and so it's like, it's not like he would have been going off on adventures all the time, because he would have been then not there keeping an eye on Luke. So, like, you know, what the fuck? Like, do we really need to see that? But
unless it's him as like a 5-year-old training, like that scene where all the Jedi kids are like awkwardly waving lightsabers
around. That could be like Jedi Academy.
Well, the thing is, it's kind of like the Star Wars contracting universe, not the expanding universe. It's an infinite number of possibilities that revolves around 4 characters.
Yeah. When you mentioned before we got on something about their time while making a Jabba the Hutt movie.
I guess.
It's like I love Jabba and everything. Like, he's awesome. But it's like when you watched back in the 90s when they came out with the special editions, it's like then they jammed that scene with Jabba in the spaceport where he's kind of like a little bit of a bitch. Like, Han kind of gets to, like, steamroll over him and all that. Where in the original movies, you just hear about Jabba. Like, he's some gangster. Han's, like, avoiding him, trying, you know, running away, you know, whatever. There's bounty hunters after him. You're like, wow, who is this guy? And then when you get to Jedi and they go to his palace, it's like it's this big freaking blob of shit that sits on a stone slab and doesn't move for anybody. And it's awesome.
That's the best part. He's, like, such a badass. He can just sit there.
Yeah, and so, like, the special edition, like, ruined that, because it's like, well, he got off his ass and went to the spaceport to try to find, you know, Han.
Yeah, apparently Jabba the Hutt can move. And then he moves in Phantom Menace, too, remember, where he, like, falls out and starts the pod race?
Yep. So it kind of sucked, and then, yeah, like, now, you know, and you mentioned it before we got on, you know, it's like a lot of these movies, they keep, like, removing the mystery of things. You know, like, what made Jabba great is, you know, you just heard about him, and you started to, like, envision this thing in your head, you know, and then when you actually see him, you're like, oh, wow, that's not what I thought it would be, but it's awesome, you know?
Well, yeah, the Alien prequels have been doing that, like, Prometheus, and especially Covenant. It's like they don't want to explain every goddamn thing right up until John Hurt, your dad, gets attacked by the facehugger.
Yeah, and so it's just like, you know, I don't know. It, you know, tell the interesting stories. And I know you didn't like Rogue One, and that's fine. But, like, to me, that was at least, like, an interesting story to tell, you know, because you heard about, like, oh, they stole these plans and stuff. It's like, well, okay, that'd be kind of a fun thing to see. You know, like, how did they do that? Where, like, I don't really need to see, like, Obi-Wan between Sith and A New Hope. I don't need to see, like, Jabba learning the ropes in the gangster world and, you know, being like Ray Liotta and Goodfellas, like, moving up or something, you know?
Well, I mean, is that the kind of stuff we're going to see in the Han Solo movie? Is it going to be like, he gets his gun, his ship, meets Chewie, meets Lando, all in, like, what, a 24-hour period? Because it's probably what will happen.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee he will win the Millennium Falcon from Lando in that movie. Like, there's no doubt about it.
Oh, and he has to make the Kessel Run. I mean, everything has to happen in the movie for some dumb reason. It's like, you remember the scene in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade where the prologue where he gets his whip, gets his hat, gets his fear of snakes, and gets the scar on his chin all in, like, a 3-minute segment?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Han Solo is going to be an entire movie of that.
Yeah.
Also, why do they call these things Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, Han Solo, A Star Wars Story? Is there any doubt that a movie called Han Solo involves Star Wars?
Yeah, I don't get that either.
I mean, how dumb do they think the audience is?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, yeah, like even Rogue One, it's like, yes, that name doesn't evoke Star Wars, but it's like, oh, look, Darth Vader's in the trailer. Well, okay, I guess that's a Star Wars movie, you know?
If Darth Vader is somehow shoehorned into Han Solo, then you'll know that
God,
it's headed for a bad place.
Yeah.
See, I didn't like how Darth Vader was shoehorned into Rogue One. That was one of the many things I didn't like. I mean, I had no problem with the basic plot of that movie. Like you said, it's tell a new story or a new aspect of something. Yeah. I didn't like its execution.
Yeah, I didn't like the scene where like Krennic goes to talk to him. Like that felt like that could have just been dropped and the movie wouldn't have missed a beat. But like when he shows up at the end and he's like trying to get the plans and stuff, like that made sense because it leads directly into A New Hope. So it fit for him to be there. But yeah, that other scene, it was just kind of like, oh, here, we're going to have a scene
also,
to shove Vader in, you know?
Why are Star Wars movies so sexless now? I know we had a big argument about this at work, but I was like, why couldn't What's-Her-Face, why couldn't Theory of Everything, you know, kind of have a thing for that guy? And then, you know, they kind of, I was
like,
they should have kissed. Yeah, and have them kiss. They're about to be killed. Like, take something from them. Take not just their lives, but their future. But now everything is like just so, it's just so dry. And like, there's no humanity. It's all about family, but nobody ever falls in love and fucks in the first place to make one.
True, yeah.
And I don't know. It's just like, we need Han Solo and the plucky princess and like, you know, quipping at each other. You don't have that in the new movies.
No. Yeah, because it's like, you know, it's not that it's a bad thing necessarily, but it seems more likely that like Poe and Finn would get together in the new movies than it would for like, you know, Poe and Rey or Finn and Rey to get together.
That's a rumor that either is going to happen or was meant to be subtext in Force Awakens.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like, which is fine. I mean, if that's what happens, you know, cool. But Rey's not really a love interest type character of any kind.
Right.
I don't know. I guess not that Luke was really, you know, being in the lead. He wasn't really in that sort of thing either. It was, you know, Han and Leia. So,
well, he did kiss his own sister.
Yep.
He got all Game of Thrones up in that bitch.
Yeah, he got in there until he's like, oh, wait.
So he was smarter than Jon Snow, who really does know nothing. I assume you saw the...
I have not seen any of the new stuff, believe it or not. So,
oh, so it is a spoiler.
So don't spoil anything. But
All right.
But now I guess the whole season's out, so I was thinking I might chew through that like tomorrow or something and watch it all in one fell swoop or whatever.
Oh yeah, I wonder how many HBO subscriptions were canceled on Monday morning. All of them. And they said that the new season might not come out till 2019.
Holy shit.
Well, they gotta get another show going before
it's over.
Because otherwise they're... I watched through Westworld and that's not gonna do it for them.
Yeah, Dale said it was really good, but yeah, I don't hear anybody talking about that. Like, people were talking about Game of Thrones, you know, so...
I don't know if I would say it's really good. It's interesting. I don't know, you know, it's got robots and a Western, and I only thought it was okay. Huh. There is a really interesting storytelling device that with Ed Harris, his character.
Okay.
But then, like, the last episode is just, like, Anthony Hopkins just dumping loads of expositions like, well, this and this and this, so I did this and then this and then this and blah 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would say it's worth watching, but it's not like you know, Game of Thrones, where it's like Jaime Lannister pushes Bronn out the window and you're like, holy shit, that just happened, and then you know you're hooked, and you know.
Yeah, it's like that happened, and it's like, oh yeah, and he's fucking his sister.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Right before that happens, it's like, holy shit, there's like all sorts of crap going on here.
Yep.
But yeah, it's, yeah.
What do you think about this, like, the directors being fired off Han Solo movie? So that's like two anthology movies in a row that have been like, had massive reshoots at the last minute.
Yeah, because it was like the guys who did the
last minute is Rogue One.
Yeah, like the guys who did the Lego movie were the ones making it, I guess, which I always thought was kind of a weird choice, but, you know, what the hell. And, like, to me, these are the movies they can be a bit more risky with, you know, like these side movies. You know, yeah, throw them at somebody like that and see what they come up with. Let them put their signature on it. And I guess it was, you know, the age-old creative differences was the issue in the end, supposedly. Like, they had a certain style they wanted to use, and they wanted to take it in a certain way, and I guess, what is it, Kathleen Kennedy or whatever disagreed with the direction that they were going, and I don't know, these things need some, like, life injected into them. They need somebody to come in and just kind of throw caution to the wind and play in that universe a bit.
That person is not Ron Howard.
No, that's about as boring and safe a pick as you can make.
I just am surprised, like, reading message boards, how so many people are just excited that Ron Howard is finishing his. Like, haven't they ever seen a Ron Howard movie?
What, do they think this is, like, the guy who made, like, Apollo 13? And, you know, like, it's been 20-some years. Not that that was even, like, an amazing movie or anything.
Apollo 13 is just above average for a Ron Howard movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's probably, like, one of the... he's just really boring. It's like...
Yeah, he doesn't have any style. Like, there's nothing... Yeah, there's no signature.
He directed How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which is one of the worst films ever put to film.
Yes.
Awful.
Jesus. Yeah.
But now, like, what they're throwing Paul Bettany into this movie. It's like they're remaking the whole effing movie.
Really?
Yeah. It's like he added Paul Bettany. He put his brother in. Hopefully his brother plays a Ferengi.
Wow.
Paul Bettany was in, I'm not going to say Wimbledon. He was in
A Beautiful Mind.
The movie where Jennifer Connelly won an Oscar for breaking a mirror.
And screaming at it.
Yes. But so. that must be how she met Paul Bettany.
I would imagine. I think that is when that happened. So, yeah, it's like, I don't know. The thing with Last Jedi, too, that bugs me is that it's like, that's the one I should be excited about. Because it's like, they at least picked an interesting filmmaker for that one. Because they got the guy, they got Rian Johnson who did Looper, you know. And so it's like, well, this should be the one that would be intriguing. Because, like, Abrams, you knew. I mean, it's like, he can make good stuff, but it's like you knew that was just a safe whatever. It's just it's not gonna be great. But like Johnson,
Abrams is a very good movie director, but he's not that great of a writer. I wish he would direct other people's material. Then we'd see some good stuff.
Yeah, he basically needs to just, you know, completely emulate his hero, like Spielberg, because Spielberg's written what, two movies?
Close Encounters and AI.
Yep. Which were both really good, but it's like everything else that he's done, it's been somebody else's material that he's then, you know, turned into something. Usually
even
something
with AI,
really good.
You know, he developed it with Stanley Kubrick, so it wasn't.
Really,
just kind of finished it, which is also one of the most underrated films there is.
Oh yeah, that movie's fantastic. But
I thought I bought it on Blu-ray.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I don't think I have it on Blu-ray yet for some dumb reason. I do have Minority Report, though, which is also by Spielberg and also awesome.
Well, I mean, I'll go see Last Jedi, I guess. Yeah. But like I said, if it's just Empire Strikes Back, I'm done. I'm not much of a Star Wars fan anyway, but I still like to watch the movies. But I mean, if all they do is remake Empire, then it's like, well, we know exactly what's going on here.
I expect it to basically be Empire times two, because it's like, oh, now you'll get to see Kylo train under Snoke or something, and then also Rey with Luke. And it's like, I really hope not, but...
I still hope Snoke is like a little midget, like Yoda, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's projected as this big hologram, but then he's like really small.
Supposedly we're actually going to see him in this movie, from what I've read, so... For whatever that's worth.
What is the theory that he's actually Mace Windu or something?
Oh God!
There's a lot of crazy theories for who he is. He's probably just some asshole.
I would imagine, yeah. So, but yeah, I'll go see it, but it's like I have no, like, anticipation for it, whereas, like, coming into the summer, it was like, oh, I really want to see Wonder Woman, I really want to see Dunkirk, you know, but like, oh, yeah, I guess when that comes out, I'll see it.
Yeah, I suppose, like, Warner Brothers must have an issue on their hands, like, Wonder Woman did so well and was so well received, even though the third act is weak. But now they've got this Justice League thing, which sounds like it's just epic clusterfuck.
Yeah, I guess, because, well, like, what is it, Joss Whedon's in doing some reshoots now, I guess?
Well, they're still working on it, and it comes out in 2 months.
Yeah, because it's, what, early November it comes out?
Yeah, November 7th. Yeah. So,
Jesus.
what did they say? They're like reshoots are more extensive than mentioned, and they're like, it's costing $25 million. Like, you know what, if you shoot a major motion picture for 2 months, that's cost a lot more than $25 million. Plus, whatever they reshoot, they're gonna have to hire every effects company on the planet to finish in 2 months.
The only way is if they're not doing like effects heavy type reshoots, but I'm sure there's plenty of effects in them, but you know.
It'll be
interesting. I mean, the last trailer I definitely liked more than the ones that came before it, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. And originally they were saying, oh, we're going to have Justice League 1 and 2, but now they've kind of backed off that, where it's like, oh, we'll make this one, and then we'll kind of see where to go from here.
They started shooting that like a week after Batman v Superman came out, so...
Yep.
So they hadn't done any course correction.
Yes, yeah.
Based off the reaction to that movie. Although, I mean, that movie had a lot of problems, but I don't think they needed to rework everything. I mean, it still made money.
Yeah.
I finally watched Suicide Squad for some reason. It's like, apparently, you know, $350 million worth of idiots will watch a movie like that, so who cares?
Yeah, because that movie's a fucking mess. Like, that one, I will agree. That thing is just thrown at the screen. It's like,
well, you know, what I thought when I was watching it, I think it was on HBO, it's like I thought they did reshoots to add jokes and stuff. It's like, this movie isn't funny. It's like, I'm kind of like what I thought about Rogue One, since I didn't like Rogue One. I'm like, how much worse was this before all the reshoots?
Yeah, you gotta kind of wonder, but yeah, it's just such a mishmash of shit. Like, the only stuff that works at all is like the first maybe half hour where they're doing all the intros of the characters, but then that's where, like we've talked about before on here, it's like you see in those sequences like much more interesting tidbits where it's like, I'd rather see that movie, like show me the Joker Harley Quinn movie where all that shit happens instead of this piece of shit that you're giving me.
The main plot of that movie is there is no plot, basically.
Yeah,
it's like well, first of all, Viola Davis, I mean, her character is just a complete fucking idiot.
Yeah.
It's like, she assembles a squad whose goal it is to rescue her after one other member of the squad goes rogue.
Yes.
And all they do is they fly a helicopter downtown, it crashes, they walk across town, and then fight Enchantress. That's the whole movie.
That is everything.
It's like, they don't do anything in it. You know, because you can tell, like, there's like the beam of light going into the sky. You see that like 30 minutes into the movie, and it's like, wait a minute, that's gonna be another hour before we're supposed to see that. What's going on?
Yes.
That's when you realize there's no plot. Yeah,
that thing was a mess, and I mean, that thing, like, globally, it made like almost $800 million, I think. Like,
well, I guess my point is, like, if, you know, Batman v Superman made a lot of money, Suicide Squad made a lot of money.
Yeah.
What's the problem, as much as I hate to say it?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is, you know, Warner Brothers wanted Batman v Superman to make, like, Avengers money.
Yeah. The thing that struck me when I was watching that is apparently it was, like, a massive production. But the main plot, again, nothing happens, just them walking down the streets. But they just suck up so many locations by having all these backstories with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, do we really need that? But none of those backstories just explain the characters, but they didn't explain anything about the plot.
Yes, yeah.
And that's why they, you know, I guess it might be kind of interesting to see where these characters came from, but it doesn't advance the plot. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, it was more just like, oh, look, here's these movies we might show you someday. You know, it was like you know, it's like, oh, we could do a Joker and Harley Quinn movie someday. We could do a Deadshot movie. You know, like...
No, wait, I heard they were going to do a Harley Quinn and Joker movie.
They should.
And it should
Although
be,
the new Joker should, fucking sucks.
It
so.
Should be how he, you know, lures her into the world of sin.
You well, know, yeah.
It should be Silence of the Lambs with Joker. There, that's all you gotta do.
Pretty much, yeah.
But no, it'll be already transformed Margot Robbie and... Shit, yeah, he wasn't very good as a Joker. Was he supposed to be a gangster Joker? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's just a really weird version. I mean, I guess he was like, well, Nicholson did kind of the high concept or whatever, you know, like the traditional Joker, like on crack. And then Ledger did the really dark interpretation or whatever, you know. And then it's like, well, where do you go from there? But what they did in that movie, I'm just like, they need to, like, pretend that Joker didn't exist and try again would be my opinion.
Did you like how all the characters had their personalities either tattooed on them or written on their shirts?
Pretty much, yeah. That way you don't have to spend any time like doing character development.
And yet they spent like an hour of the movie doing flashbacks and character development.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that stuff would be cool if they did, you know, the Joker-Harley movie where it's, like, her being his psychiatrist and all that stuff, and then, yeah, he converts her and twists her mind and stuff, you know, like, that'd be cool. You know, it wouldn't be your typical superhero movie, but that's fine. We don't need the typical superhero movie anymore.
You have, like, a Breaking Bad kind of scene where it's like, well, how does she get him a machine gun? I mean, let's see that scene, you know?
Yeah.
well, it sounds like that. I mean, it sounds like Warner Brothers is going back more toward, like, individual films.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I hope that they learn something from Wonder Woman, you know? I would hope. You know, it's like...
Write a good script.
And, write a good script. Give people something, you know, a bit different.
I think that's, you know, one of the big things with Wonder Woman is it was a character we hadn't seen before.
Yep, and it was set in a different period of time and, you know, all that stuff. And
I think the other thing about this, I guess we've already moved on to horrible summer for movie box office, is do you notice, like, the underperformance of Spider-Man Homecoming was kind of swept under the rug?
Yeah, because it's not going to top, like, the original Raimi movies, even, at least domestically. I don't know if internationally.
It's not even going to top Amazing Spider-Man 2 internationally.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's... It's like number four in the U.S., but the thing is, even it's when you take like ticket price inflation into account, it's like way behind Spider-Man 3, way behind.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like worldwide, I think it's only above the first Andrew Garfield movie, and it's probably not going to beat the second one.
Wow.
So that's kind of – but I think, you know, I don't think – I haven't seen the movie. I kind of want to see it, but not that bad.
Yeah,
it's got Michael Keaton, but I bet it's not so much the quality of the movie. I think people are just kind of tired of the character, and like the average film goer does not know, you know, that Marvel and Sony struck a deal and blah blah blah. They don't know about all that political stuff. All they see is like, oh, it's another fucking Spider-Man movie.
Yep. Yeah, and I can't tell you, like, I mean, how many times, like, just talking to people at work and talking about movies that are out there, and like Spider-Man would come up. And some of them were, like, more, you know, geeky comic book people, but then some were just kind of, like, your run-of-the-mill general moviegoers, and they were all like, we really need another Spider-Man? Like, everybody would say that. And so that was when I was like, yeah, that movie, I don't think it's going to be, you know, the lightning rod or whatever that they're hoping it's going to be. And I was very happy when, like, Wonder Woman kicked its ass at the box office, and...
I think people just want new stuff. I mean,
yeah.
Wonder Woman was new. We've never had a Wonder Woman movie.
Yeah, we never had a Wonder Woman movie. We've never had, well, I guess we have had superhero movies with female leads, but this is the first one where they actually treated it properly, I guess, and didn't just try to cash in.
I don't think Elektra and Catwoman do not count as films.
Yeah, they really shouldn't.
Actually, Catwoman's a pretty entertainingly bad movie.
True.
Elektra was god
That's
awful.
Just terrible, yeah. But yeah, it's...
Starring Batman's wife. Connection.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, it's like, I was looking at that like even a month or so ago, and it was kind of funny. I was looking at Wonder Woman's box office, And it's kind of fun, too, because it's opening weekend, you know, it only made, like, $103 million, you know, only.
Only!
But when you compare it to all the big movies around it, you know, they all opened at, like, $150 million plus or whatever, you know. It's had really awesome legs. But then the other thing that was funny about it when I was looking at it was I was like, oh, the domestic gross for the Mummy movie, the Transformers movie, and the Pirates movie does not exceed Wonder Woman's domestic haul. Like, it's made more than all of those combined.
Well, and those are all just, like, umpteenth millionth sequel slash reboot. Did you watch The Mummy?
I did not. No, I didn't, actually. I even had, like, movie cash to do it, and I just never made it. I had movie cash for Spider-Man, and I never made it.
Is it on... I kind of have a sick desire to watch it.
I want to see it, but it's on... It's on demand, but I don't think it's up for, like, rental yet. I think it's in that buy-only phase.
Oh, I hate when they do that.
But it's probably going to be, probably within 2 or 3 weeks it'll be rental, because it was on the buy-only phase, like, a week or so ago was when that started.
Oh, yeah, because so. Alien Ark of the Covenant, I rented that. Chris, I'm not going to buy these fucking movies.
Yeah. Alien Ark of the Covenant.
Alien Promise. It's like, yeah, I'll be curious to see what you think of it. Did Dale like it?
He did. He said he liked it quite a bit. So.
Oh, my. Really?
Yeah, yeah. I'll see. I'm not a huge. Yeah, that's what he said. He said he liked it a lot. I guess he said there's more Fassbender in it than in Prometheus, which to me is a good thing as well, but we'll see.
There definitely is. I mean, there's two Fassbenders in it.
Sweet. But yeah, I'm not.
Okay, I won't tell you my opinion on it then. I'll leave it unsullied.
We can tap on that next time, but yeah, I'm not like a huge Alien fan anyways. I mean, I like the first movie a lot, but it's not like I revisit it frequently. You know, so it, I can kind of take
I
or leave
can't
them.
Get over the self-destruct mechanism that says insure instead of ensure.
Yeah.
All the work they spent on that movie doing all like the symbols and There's like a whole like semaphore language in that movie. Like you can't even see it on screen, but it's like on the decals. But they use the wrong word there. Yeah.
I can't tell you how often I see those words used incorrectly at work, and it drives me nuts every time I see it.
So the thing we're talking about is when Ripley is reading the instructions for how to blow up the Nostromo. I can't remember exactly what it says, but it basically says, here's a checklist of things to do. And then it's like, ensure you do this. Like, you know, make sure you do it. But they say, I ensure, like insurance, instead of ensure, as in, I ensure you I'm coming to your party.
Yes, yep.
And it's like, Jesus Christ, I can't get that wrong. Oh, no, it happens too when Tom Skerritt is talking to Mother, one of the directives also says, ensure, you know, retrieval of alien egg.
Yeah.
Hey, you should Google the Weird Al song Word Crimes and watch it later.
I will have to do that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
On another movie news before we get too far along. So I finally watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh, yeah. What did you think of that? We've both seen that movie, so we can talk about
it. I actually liked it quite a bit, surprisingly.
Really?
Yes.
I thought it was pretty meh.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. The thing I liked about it was that it has, like, a lot of heart and emotion to it, I thought, which made it much more compelling to me than the pretty much all of the other soulless Marvel movies.
Yes, there isn't much heart in Marvel films, I would agree.
Because it's like, the thing I liked with it is it's like, you know, you get to the end of the movie and it's like, there's this whole big action thing going on, you know, and it's like, well, yeah, I guess like the fate of the universe is at stake, but that almost seems kind of like background shit. Like the stuff that's more important is like the characters and what's going on between them and their relationships. And I don't know, I thought that was more interesting because it's not something that we see all the time. You know,
I just think Kurt Russell should be in more movies.
I would agree, yeah.
Has Kurt Russell and Sam Elliott ever been in... Oh, yeah, Tombstone.
Yeah, Tombstone, yep. But, yeah, that was great when, like when Vanilla Sky came out of me, and that was way back in 2000 or whatever now.
Oh, God, yeah, he was in that, right? He was, like, the mentor or something, or father figure?
Yeah, he was really good. He was kind of like this, father figure psychiatrist or something, you know, and But he was, like, great in that movie, but, you know, you hadn't seen him in years, and it's like, damn it, put Kurt in more shit. And,
well, he was in, what was that movie, The Hateful Eight?
Yes, and he was good in that, too.
Yeah. I didn't like it when he died, though. I'm like, god damn it, that means the rest of this movie does not have Kurt Russell in it.
Yeah, that was quite the scene. But, yeah, I don't know, Guardians 2, I liked that stuff. It just felt like it kind of...
I couldn't get over the part where he tells Star-Lord what he did to his mom. I thought that was just stupid.
The thing with that is, it's like, I think the idea there is, at least the way I took it, was that he feels like he's got, like, Star-Lord under his control. Like, he's totally got him in his camp now, and he's just like, well, yeah, I can tell you this shit now, because... Whatever.
Maybe it's like, I'm going to see if I have him totally in my control, and I will test it by telling him this.
Could be that, too. I liked his reaction,
or
though.
Or he could just not say it.
I liked his reaction, though, because he didn't sit there and go on this diatribe. He just, like, started blasting him. He's like, fuck you, and just starts unloading on him.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the way I kind of took that, is that, you know, he thinks he's kind of got him all on board with, like, hey, we're going to, you know, rule the... galaxy, universe, whatever, together.
Well, his only... Kurt Russell's only motivation was, like, I have to sire an offspring that doesn't die, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
All the rest of them died. So the fact that Chris Pratt lived, that should have been enough. You know,
I
was like, what more does he need to test? It's like, yeah, I don't know. I didn't think it was the greatest.
And I love Drax in it, but he's awesome, like, all the time, so...
I liked the lady with the antenna. She was pretty cool.
Yeah, she was good. And I liked the stuff between her and Drax. Like, that was kind of fun, and... I don't know, it was just... It's, like, different from the other shit, and sometimes, sadly, that's enough for me anymore, is just for something to be different.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of self-indulgent, you know, like, they're like, oh, you know that part where Michael Rooker, you can see how I can get their names confused. The guy from Cliffhanger, remember when he killed like 20 people with his arrow? Let's have him kill 500 people with it. I mean, the whole movie felt like that.
Yeah, I don't know, that scene was fun though, I liked it, because he's just like walking with like... Rocket Raccoon or whatever through the place. And then there's like that one shot where there's just like bodies falling on each side of them. And I mean, it's like, yeah, it's total like excess, but I don't know. I was like, this works for me for whatever reason. So,
hey, you want to jump on to the next subject, which I guess is the Castlevania Netflix series?
Sure.
Yes. So there's a Castlevania Netflix series.
Yes, and what is it based on, other than just Castlevania, like specific Castlevania?
It's... The beginning of it is like Symphony of the Night, and then it's Castlevania 3. Which makes sense, because Castlevania 3 also had Alucard in it.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, it must have Alucard, and Trevor is in it then, probably?
Yep, he's the hero. Yeah. It doesn't have like the guy from the clock tower who can climb upside down, remember that guy, Grant?
Mm-hmm, yep.
He's not in it, but... The wizard lady is.
Okay.
Well, it's like anime style. It's only like 4 episodes, and they're 20 minutes each. It's like really short.
Okay.
But you should watch it, because it's really good, because it's, like we've said a million times, all they did was just take the story of the game and make a movie of it.
Yep.
I mean, it's a little different. Like Trevor is kind of like a drunk, which is not exactly what you'd expect, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't want to help anybody, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, it's really close to the game. Like, he goes down, like, into this crypt or something, and there's, like, this frozen wizard, like a stone statue of a wizard, and then a cyclops attacks him, which is what happens in Castlevania 3. You fight a cyclops thing, and after you kill it, the statue unfreezes, and it's... Sypha, the wizard lady, the blue character that has the magic spells. And that happens in the show.
Okay.
And then I think also they go down, and he also finds Alucard in a similar way, I think. And he has a big fight scene with him. But then it just ends. It's like they get the team together and like, let's go kick Dracula's ass. And then it's over. But Dracula, Dracula is given a pretty good backstory too. Like that's how it starts. Like something like some scientist woman or something comes to his castle, and she's like, "Hey, I want to use everything you know to do science and to help people." Right.
Okay.
So Dracula teaches her all this stuff, but then you know people think she's a witch, so they burn her at the stake. But all she just has scientific knowledge; it's not witchcraft.
And then Dracula off.
Yep, and he's like, "I'm gonna kill everybody." That's basically, but he's kind of a a sympathetic character because
he's got motivation and you see kind of where he's coming from a little bit.
Yes, and then like Alucard's like, "I'm not gonna let you do it," and then Dracula's like, "Well, fuck you," and then they fight. there's even a part where Trevor goes around talking to townspeople trying to figure out where things are. you should watch it. It's good.
Yeah, I'll have to look.
You know, it kind of reminded me a lot of the most underrated Disney film ever made, which is The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of like evil priests in it and stuff. And then ironic deaths for the clergy and stuff like that. And Yeah, and it's also pretty violent. Actually, it's quite violent. There's like creatures running around with dead babies in their mouths and stuff. And So I guess I would recommend it, and you should definitely watch it. And then we could talk about it in the next episode.
Very well.
Although it doesn't have any music from Castlevania, which seems like kind of a miss.
Yeah.
But I didn't really mind because the rest of it was good enough.
Oh, and since we're on TV shows, there was one other thing we didn't write on here, but we had discussed
The best TV shows ever?
Yes, so.
I guess we could briefly discuss that. I don't want these podcasts to go too long, though.
I know, but we're.
Yeah.
We're not too bad here.
So, that came up because I mentioned that I was watching The Wire.
Yes, which it seems like in the critical community or whatever, that's considered to be kind of like the greatest show ever or something, it seems like.
Really?
I don't know. I see it come up a lot with stuff where it's like, if it's not like number one, it's like right up there.
At what point does it become? I've watched the first two seasons. I'm kind of curious at what point it becomes the best show ever.
I have no
idea. Maybe season three?
Maybe. I only watched the first episode or two, and I'm like, this is solid, but I'm just not into this. Like, it wasn't subject matter-wise anything I cared to watch.
Not a whole lot really changes.
I mean, it's got Idris Elba in it, which, that's awesome, but, that's...
And Amy Ryan, so it's an Office prequel.
Yes. so then when you brought that up, I was like, well...
Oh, and it has Lance Reddick, the guy from Fringe. He's like that tall, skinny black guy, and he talks like this. That guy. I like him more than Idris Elba. I don't care what anyone says. Yeah, Idris Elba's just kind of like blah 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 blah.
The guy that was in Lost as well, and then he's also and then he's also the guy. He's like kind of the concierge or whatever at the hotel in John Wick.
Oh, John Wick. Yep, Mr. Wick. Would you like your normal room? I'm Lance Reddick. I'm awesome. I'm cooler than Idris Elba. He's also in The Wire a lot more than Idris Elba because he's like the lieutenant of the squad.
Okay.
And Idris Elba just shows up every so often to like give people drugs and stuff.
Yeah, because he's like the bad guy, kind of, right?
In Horizon Zero Dawn, which is the best game of the year, I don't even need to play Zelda to know that it's better. So you're running along this path, right? And you've got like this Dorito on your ear that like can talk to you.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, like this voice comes over and he's like, "I've been watching you, Aloy. I'm going to help you." And they're like, "It's Lance Reddick." You can just tell it's him. He says three words, and it's Lance Reddick. And then his character shows up, and he fucking looks like Lance Reddick.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, remember our idea for a Fringe reboot?
Call me Fringe.
Yeah. He's the best agent we've got. Agent Fringe. John Noble is Fringe. wasn't he the Oceanic Airlines representative?
Yes, because he was the one that kept kind of showing up. Like, he showed up at the psych ward place that Hurley was at and all that. So, yeah, he would just kind of keep showing up. So my pick for greatest show of all time is Mad Men. Like, to me, there's like no contest whatsoever. But I don't know. It's just like so high quality throughout, like all the acting, the writing, the just attention to detail for the time periods, like the way it kind of ties into real events that happened and showing, you know, how that affected people's lives, and just kind of the whole journey that the Don Draper character goes on, and, you know, it just has a good balance of comedy and drama and everything, and it just like sustained this, you know, and crazy high level of quality all the way through from beginning to end. And it didn't really shy away from tough subjects and things. And so it's like the one show where if I could only watch one show ever for the rest of my life, that would be the one. So
not Lost?
No. I liked Lost a lot, but it would not be... It's like, to me, nothing's even close to Mad Men. So,
I mean, yeah, I like Mad Men as well. I don't think, I mean, for the same time period, I would have to say I enjoyed Breaking Bad more.
Wow, really?
Yeah, although I think Breaking Bad was probably maybe like a season longer than it needed to be.
Yeah, that last season's kind of weird in spots.
Hey, you know what show I miss? It's Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, that one was a lot of fun.
That show was so good when it was good.
Yes. That show was good when it was good.
Well, it's kind of short, you know. It
was, what, 4 seasons?
Yeah, but...
And one was kind of a short one, I think, too, if I recall, but...
How many seasons was Mad Men? Like, 7?
7, yeah.
Huh.
Technically, it was kind of like 8, but they did that whole thing where they split season 7 in 2. And...
Of course they... I'm so sick of that.
Yeah.
Like, Game of Thrones. There's only 6 episodes left.
Yes, yeah.
It's like, why couldn't we just have, you know, a 13-episode season? I guess it was, like, usually 10. I think The Wire was, like, 13, because apparently The Wire is the greatest show ever made.
Apparently.
I was noticing, like... It does have, like, really good subtext, The Wire.
I mean,
I appreciated that. I still don't know if I'd say it's, like, the greatest show ever made, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I've seen that one come up a lot in that thing where it's like, oh, my God, you have to see The Wire. And it's not like it's people that I know. You know, it's the freaking nebulous internet whatever shit, which is usually... dumber than a bag of hammers anyway, but yeah, it just seems like it's very, like, highly regarded.
That could lead us into our final topic, which is, I played a new video game.
Holy crap.
Yes, so someone from Raven gave me a copy of Infinite Warfare.
That's why you're playing it. I was like, why did you just suddenly play this? Okay, now we know.
Because someone gave me a disc.
Yeah. Because I didn't have to pay for it.
And I was like, you know, God, I haven't played Call of Duty since Modern Warfare 2.
I think that was the last time I played one, too.
Like, those Spec Ops, that was kind of fun. You remember that, where you had to, like, do the missions and stuff?
Yeah, that was awesome, and we kept expecting them to do DLC for that, and it never happened.
Yeah, that's weird. I wonder if it's because they had that big dust-up at their studio.
Yeah, it could be. But yeah, I never played any of the Black Ops shit, and they've made, two or three of those?
Well, God, yeah. Well, they've made one every year, so that was like, what, 7 Call of Duties ago?
That's been a while, because then there was...
Let's see if I can list them up. There's Modern Warfare, Black Ops, Modern Warfare 3, Black Ops 2, Call of Duty Ghosts, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. That's six,
yeah. Okay, Jesus.
Wow. Yep. But now they're going back to World War II.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of like with Assassin's Creed. Like, I used to really like those games, but then they just started, like, it's just like the Star Wars movies. It's like they just churn them out too goddamn fast. It's like you got to, like, let some space, you know, fill up between releases. You know, like, yeah, give it a little anticipation. And
I wonder if Call of Duty is finally running out of gas, because right now the big hot thing is Overwatch, at least for shooters.
Yeah.
A game have you played it? I really have no interest in it.
Yeah, I've played it, and it was fun, you know, for a bit, but, you know, I played it quite a bit for maybe about a month, and then I just kind of, I'm not in the mood for it, and I haven't really gone back to it, but, you know, at some point I will, and the nice thing with that is they add new heroes to it, and it's not like you need to pay for them. It's like, if I just fire up the game tomorrow, the hero they added a few weeks ago, I'll be able to play him.
Well, Blizzard has, you know, all the money in the world, so they can, I think they can afford that.
Yeah, and they find other ways to make money with that game. Like, they've got a shop where you can buy these, you know, loot crate type things or whatever, where you open it and you can get different skins and shit for your characters. You know, so, I mean, they found different ways to monetize the game. But it's like, you know, a choice, and it doesn't affect gameplay, which is, you know, nice.
Is it? But it's like a $60 game, isn't it?
Yes. I actually got it for $40 because they'll put it on sale every now and then, so.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fun game. I mean, it's like kind of like Team Fortress 2 a bit, but, you know, with some variation. Like, Blizzard's always, they seem to be good about that. Like, they'll kind of take something, and then they'll put kind of their little twist on it, and at least for me, it makes it better. Like, Heroes of the Storm is, you know, their, like, MOBA-type game or whatever, and that one was far more compelling to me than, like, League of Legends. For whatever reason. Maybe it's just because it's got the Blizzard characters in it and I recognize them or whatever, but...
Well, I started playing Infinite Warfare. I remember everyone was pissed about it because it was Call of Duty in space.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking, it's like, wait a minute, I like space. So...
This game was made for me!
There's like a lot of, like, flying in it, like ship fighting, and it's... Huh. It's almost more like a Star Fox game, honestly.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a bit of that, actually. But I suppose if you were wanting to Call of Duty game, that would piss you off.
Yeah, I mean, I could actually understand people having a gripe with that. You know,
well, same thing, like, with War of the Planet of the Apes. It's like, you know, I want to play a Call of Duty game, not a, you know, Star Fox game. But I don't know, yeah. I kind of like the Star Fox scenes.
Yeah.
No one tells you to do a barrel roll, though. I have, like, one more mission to go where I have to kill... Jon Snow, who's like the villain.
And he still knows nothing, apparently.
Yeah, he's got this weird accent. I wonder if that's like his real accent. Because it's like, I don't know what this accent is. But
kind of Scottish-y or something? Or...
Yeah, it's hard to place. But yeah, it's definitely not British. It's not, because basically he does like an American accent on the show.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably his real accent.
Yeah, and then you have like a robot buddy in it who's like, I guess, pretty cool. So I guess he's probably gonna get killed, and your ship will get blown up, and then there'll be like a nuclear bomb will go off. And but it's kind of crazy, like how crazy the Call of Duty games have gotten, where it's kind of like playing a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah, it's like, oh, now we're gonna go to space and do a bunch of shit. Yeah.
So I don't know. It's you know, I've been playing through it. It's not like. I guess I got it for free, but it's like, yeah, you know, this is fun.
Yeah,
probably finish it up tomorrow, since it's a day off.
Yeah, because when you said you were playing that, I'm like, wow, that's like random. What the hell? So I know.
I've still been playing Battlefield, so that's my World of Warcraft.
Oh wow, yeah. So
the DLC for that has been dropping so slow. I don't know what's up.
So did you end up buying, like, the pass thing, or do you just buy it as it comes out?
Oh, I bought the stupid Battlefield pass.
Yeah?
Just, like, the last three games.
Well, if you're playing it enough, you know, why the hell not, I guess, so.
Yeah, they've only released one full DLC. I think the next one comes out, actually, I think it comes out tomorrow, but.
Okay.
So, for whatever reason, they're releasing the DLC packs really slow. Maybe they're, like, really busy, because they're also making Battlefront 2. Which hopefully is a game this time.
Yeah, hopefully it's actually got some meat to it.
Well, I think it has a single-player campaign.
Yes, it does. And then hopefully, like, the shooter part of it's more developed, but...
Were there any space battles in the first game?
You could fly the ships around in certain battlefields, but I don't think you actually went up into space. I think it was more like, you know, on Hoth, and you're flying, you know, an X-Wing around the battlefield, just like when you play Battlefield 3 or 4 or whatever.
Are you going to have any Star Wars in your Star Wars game?
No. We will not. So, And I think they're gonna have more of the hero shit, and I hope they kind of like make that more like how it works in Battlefield 1, because I like how they did that kind of catch-up mechanic thing in Battlefield 1.
Which is, like the Supermen?
Yeah, I mean, usually you end up still losing, but it's kind of neat to at least try to give a team that's overmatched, you know, some sort of kind of balancing mechanism.
Yeah, the balancing in Battlefield 1, it never helps. I think I've played maybe, and I've put a lot of hours into that game, I think I've played like one game or one match where somebody got the behemoth or whatever, and like, oh, here comes a failed blimp to help you, or here comes a train.
And it turned the tide, actually, one time.
Yeah, one time. I was talking about that with Mike, and I was saying that it seems like there's like kind of like a fundamental mechanic with that game that's broken compared to the previous Battlefields. I mean, I really enjoy playing it. I think it's definitely the best one since Bad Company 2. But in the old days, like Battlefield 2, I mean, you could, if you played right and like captured the objectives, you could actually, you could be on the brink of death and you could come back. Like if you actually somehow captured all the points, mm-hmm, you could starve out the enemy team and they'd lose. There's like, I can't remember, we were playing like a ranked game when we were in, the one time I was in a clan. I can't remember what it was. It's like, whoever the team leader was like, artillery strike our position, which sounded like a terrible thing to do,
mm-hmm,
but it killed the bad guys and allowed us to cap the flag. And even though we'd been losing the entire round, we managed to cap all five flags at once. And that basically means you instantly win.
Nice.
you can't do things like that on Battlefield 1.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of like,
well, you're kind of like constantly swapping control points in that, from what I remember when we were playing.
It's all about capturing points, not defending them.
Yes, yeah.
So you basically, it's very rare to even have a game within like 100 points. Usually it's like out of 1,000 points, it'll be like 1,000 to 600.
Okay.
So, yeah. So anyway, I guess my point is, I think there's something broken with like, well, it probably has to do with
the matchmaking,
you know,
I would think. But
well, not the matchmaking, but like broken with the way the scoring works.
Mm.
Because that's why the behemoths never help. If a team is losing enough to get a behemoth, they just lose. I guess it just makes them feel better.
Yeah, or it drags the match out a little longer or whatever, but yeah.
But then on the flip side, like if the team is kicking the other team's ass and the behemoth helps that much, then it seems like it's a cheat.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the point of doing well if this thing's going to come in and, like, get a bunch of free kills for the team?
True, but. Yeah, I think the thing, like, you're kind of talking about, yeah, like, where it's fundamentally broken is that there really isn't incentive for teams to, like, hunker down and defend positions in it. Because it's just like, oh, we capped that, okay, truck over to the next one, cap it quick. And you just try to, like, always have more capped than the other team, but you're kind of, like, constantly rotating around the map, it always felt like to me.
Yeah, and there's certain maps where just the geography will really hedge it in the other team's favor or certain team's favor. Like the new map that just came out, there's like what, 6 control points, but only 2 of them really matter. Okay. And if you can hold those 2, the 2 behind you also are pretty safe. So it's like if you hold 2 points, that basically keeps 4 points safe, but the other team only has 3 points. So yeah.
Yeah, so
they will lose.
Yep.
But it's a snow map. They finally brought back snow maps.
Yes.
You should play it sometime.
Oh, Bad Company 2. Good old
snow maps.
Yep. Hopefully Star Wars. I'm hoping, you know, I've got like very low expectations, I guess, for Last Jedi, because I'm just like, eh, whatever. So maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. I will, you know, hope for the best, expect the worst, or whatever, I guess. But
I mean, you'd think by this point, you know, Disney could take a few chances with the. It's called Star Wars. It'll make a ton of money no matter what.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the fuck it is. I mean, it's like, you know, obviously Force Awakens made a ton. Rogue One made a ton. It made like over $500 million domestically. I don't know what it ended up globally, but yeah, you're.
Of course, that's probably not that much more tickets sold than like Phantom Menace.
Yeah, I bet Phantom Menace sold more tickets than Rogue One.
Because like if you look at like we were talking about Spider-Man earlier, if you look at Spider-Man Homecoming versus Spider-Man 3, it's, you know, like $20 million off or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then if you look at inflation adjusted, it's way off. I mean,
yeah,
ticket prices have gone through the roof in the last 10 years.
Yeah, they're ridiculous now. It's like, what the hell was it? Like, I think we went to like, it was like an evening showing of Dunkirk and IMAX. And I want to say it was like $18 or $20. Like to
it's
see
ridiculous.
It. I mean, it's like, holy shit, I mean, it's like, it's an awesome movie. It's great. But I mean, it's like $20, you know, I can go and buy like the brand new Blu-ray release of the week for $20.
Well, apparently video on demand is actually coming. It's going to start like in January.
Okay.
Where you can rent movies, I think it's like 30 days after they come out.
Oh, okay. Have
they
said anything about pricing yet? Because I know we've talked about that in the past, like what they probably need to hit.
$30.
Okay.
But again, you think about it, like two people going to a movie these days, that's, you know, that's $30 before you even get your food.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just too goddamn expensive, and I don't know what's going on. It's like, because I don't think it's, you know, the theater's having to put all the digital projectors in. I mean, that happened a while back. It just seems like in the last 2 or 3 years, there's been a huge spike of inflation.
Yeah, it's really been jumping fast, it feels like.
Yeah. Well, it's ridiculous. It's like you can get a month of Netflix for $9, and it's hard to find a $9 movie ticket now, like maybe like in the morning.
Yeah, it's getting pretty crazy. And that's like around here, you know, like imagine, you know, New York or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's probably or 25 or $30 to go see a movie at night there. I don't know. It's like, Jesus. So, yeah.
You can see it where like they're putting in the bigger seats and they're putting in the, you know, the food tables. Like if attendance was really that high, they'd be making the seats smaller, not bigger.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, and there's pretty decent walkways now between the seats. You know, you don't really have to worry about anybody kicking your chair anymore. You know, it's like, yeah, they've definitely cut down the seat numbers substantially.
Like, speaking of Mad Men, you like those episodes where they're, like, flying in planes and there's, like, a bar on board the plane?
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, that would be awesome! But that doesn't happen anymore because now more people fly and so they're basically packed in like sardines.
Yep.
So the theaters are going are going backwards.
Yep.
It's like one more thing on the theater thing. So if you had like a family, 4 kids, 2 adults, and they get snacks and stuff, I mean, you could be spending like $50 or $60 or more easily going to one movie, right?
Well, you'd probably be up at like $100 if it's that, you know, depending on what time of day you're going.
I think part of it is, have you seen the excuse? Like, you saw this a lot like 5 years ago and ticket prices are going up, but it's still the cheapest form of entertainment.
And it's
not, really.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like when you compare it to, yeah, like a month of Netflix or whatever. I mean, I suppose if you're talking about things that you can go out and do, you know, it's
outside,
like...
Outside, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like if you go to a sporting event, yeah, it's going to cost you more, generally.
But not that much more. I mean, it seems like...
Yeah.
You know, someone in, you know, the distribution world heard that. They're like, oh, shit, we can raise our prices more. Just like in the pinball world, where Stern realized they could raise their prices up to what Jersey Jack was charging.
Yeah.
And it's like basically like, oh, you know, we're leaving money on the table because we are the cheapest, you know, thing you can do when you go out. But I think that's what made movies popular in the first place was that it was a cheap thing that you could go do.
Yep. Yeah,
and
now
it no
not.
Longer is. Why should I go... Pay $15 to see a movie that will probably suck when I can sit home and watch better things off television.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know. Or
you can just be like, well, shit, here's this movie that came out. I can go buy the Blu-ray of it for that. And then
if I like it,
I can watch it over and over again because I own it now.
Like,
you know?
Like this video on demand thing that they're talking about doing. I mean, it is the future. I mean, I honestly think that theaters, their time is limited. But it's too late. I mean, like, if you're going to wait a month to see a movie, why not just wait 3 months? Because most people, as we've talked about a million times before, there's entire swaths of people that don't go to the theater and they just wait for something to come out on a disc.
They just go to the video store on Friday night and whatever's
and
new.
they rent. But think about it, if all you care about is what's new, you're still seeing everything. You have a constant stream of new stuff. It's just 3 months delayed, but why do you care?
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. And
it doesn't matter because these aren't super movie buffs. These are just average people who watch movies.
Yes, yeah.
Big difference. One more thing. One more point on this, and then I think we should wrap it up. Video arcades. It's like, once home consoles got as good as the arcades, they died.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see that, like, right around PlayStation 1. Remember, like, Ridge Racer on PlayStation 1 was just as good as the arcade?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And that was, the writing was on the wall at that point.
And movies are definitely trending. I mean, I think what will happen with movie theaters eventually is, yeah, like, all these big multiplexes will just die off.
They'll turn into Amazon distribution centers.
Yeah, but then, like, there will still be movie theaters, but they're going to be more things like Alamo Drafthouse, you know, where they'll show older movies and do kind of, like, event-type things and stuff, you know. And they'll show new stuff, too, but it's, like, they're going to be more, like, niche, you know, and doing kind of, like, interesting stuff like that. They're not just going to show whatever dreck Hollywood decided to dump on the masses that weekend.
Okay, so we were just talking about how much it would cost for a family of four to go to the movies.
Yeah.
Just a quick search on Amazon here. Yeah, look at this. 4K televisions from like LG and Samsung starting at like $400.
Yep.
My God, I should have waited longer to buy mine. Oh, yeah. Well.
This Although those are a little different than yours probably, but... Or do you not have a 4K?
I have a 4K.
Yeah, yeah.
Not HDR though. But I mean, look at this. It's like you can get like a 50-inch... 4K TV for like $500.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in focus. It's going to be brighter. I mean, that's another thing about movies, not just 3D. Is like, you know, they're pinching every penny. Like, it's so effing dim. Well, you have a OLED TV now, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
It's like the home experience is better. It's technically better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more convenient. And just like arcades, I think it's really going to hurt movies. I mean, there's nothing the theaters can really do about it except for, yes, become more like, you know, events or like date night kind of things.
Yeah.
That's really all they can do. But from a technology standpoint, all technology does is technology marches on. It doesn't care who it kills in the process.
Yes. Yeah.
So yes, dump your stock in your local theater chain today. All right. Well, that has been episode 104 of the BenHeck.com podcast. Let us know what you think about all the topics we discussed in the comments below.
Adios.